this morning to briefly look at this portion of Scripture. And it is a wonderful portion of Scripture. I won't get through it all because there's so much that is found within it. But I want to speak on a subject of the awakening church. Because I believe in this day and age, we need to waken up to what's happening. We need to waken up to what's going on in this world. But we need to waken up first. And that means go to prayer meeting. That means get to the place of prayer. And awakening up and being a people who are awakened for the Lord. Because so often we say we're awakened, but we've got a glaze upon our eyes and we don't look upon it. I was sitting in a nursing home the other day. And two people I spoke to. One person who was talking away to her daughter. And in the next moment, the eyes had just glazed over. They were just zoned out. The next person was 93 years of age. She went to her church, walked for a mile every day to get to church as a little child. And she walked on with her family. She says some days it was really cold. But she couldn't understand at 93 years of age why Jesus Christ would go through such a thing. Going to the cross, having the back lashed, the nails and thorns in his head. She just couldn't grasp it and she still wasn't saved. 93 years of age. And because there's 93-year-olds out there, because there's 3-year-olds out there, because there's 13-year-olds, 23-year-olds, etc., and they do not know Christ as their Savior, I believe it's paramount that the people of God begin to awaken to those things which are worldly. Because people are being deceived by good works. They're being deceived by the sinful things of this world. And we need to get back to the book, get back to the Word of God. And let's seek Him. I don't know if you had anybody coming here of late, but I was doing deputations. We had a deputation lately. And you know what they said? Get back to reading Ephesians chapter 2 and studying Ephesians chapter 2, and that will stir your own heart. It is good to have your heart stirred. But we're going this morning to look at these portions of Scripture for a short period of time. I know time goes on, but I hope you don't worry about time too often down here. But we're going to look at the Word of God here this morning, and I won't keep you too long. But let's get in to the awakening church. And there's a few things that I have thought of, and I think in the Scripture we need to do. The awakening church is to be in the place. Their place is to work in the place of the dry bones. The awakening church's work is in the place of dry bones. I'm sure you don't understand that when somebody comes along and says it. But that's exactly what we need to do. Because Ezekiel in this passage, I didn't read the first two verses, but I want you to read them yourself. The reason I didn't read them is because I want you to mull over them yourself. And in the first two verses, God draws Ezekiel and brings him to this place of the valley of dry bones. He brings him alongside them. And you know, Ezekiel needed to be at that place. He needed to go to the valley of the dry bones. He was to go to a place which was unexpected. And we are to go to unexpected places. He was to go to a place where revival was about to happen. He didn't know, but he expected God to do something when he got there. You see, when we come to a place and you say, well, maybe you say, well, over the last 5 years, maybe only one or two people ever came to this church. Maybe you just haven't seen growth. You haven't seen growth in the way you would love to see growth. Yes, you would love to see these seats full. I would love to have been here. I think it's just over a year or so. I think I was here when just after I got called to Carrickfergus. I think I was only there for about a month. So that's basically a year and a half ago, so last time I was here. I would love to have come back this time and seen this place filled. I would love to have seen people sitting up there on the balcony. I would love to see new seats gathered in this place. I would love to see it in my own congregation too. But we need to be awakened. We know that we need to be expecting God to move. Because I look at Ezekiel in this passage, and how can he expect God to move amongst the dry bones? We know it's a picture of Israel. But how can he look here in this valley of the dry bones and see that revival is going to happen? But Ezekiel had to go where the Lord had sent him to go. And Ezekiel had to work with the things which he had. And Ezekiel was starting, and he was going to see works being done. But humanly, he didn't expect. But he called on God to do the work for him. Because when God asked him the question, I don't know if you listened to the verse 3 as we read it over, But when God spoke to Ezekiel in verse number 3, he said, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And God asked him a question. Can there be an awakening amongst these dry bones? And Ezekiel doesn't say, "Well, God, I think so." But Ezekiel answers God the way that awakening church should answer God. Because when Ezekiel came to God and he says, and he answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest. Thou knowest." I believe in this passage of Scripture there's two things that brought out of these words here. We're thinking where God says, "Well, thou knowest." And they're brought out of this thing where we can look when the awakening church can be brought to, not from revival to revival, but brought from where we are to the reviving hand of God and awakening hand of God. We need two things. There's two things Ezekiel needed to enable him to see a work done in his community. A work done where he was. He needed to see a work done. But there's two things. Firstly, he needed to be able to look around and see what a miracle God would have to do. He needed to look around. He looked around there in verse number 2. God, the Bible says that he was taken around. Look at verse 2. "He caused me to pass around about them. And behold, they were very many and an open valley. And lo, they were very many, very dry." He looked around him, and he was to look around him, and he saw that there's a need in the area. He saw that they realized that they were without hope. They were helpless. He saw that they couldn't help their sight, themselves, but he also saw a great sight, a great number of valley in the valley, dry bones. That's all that he could saw. But the Lord was guiding Ezekiel in this passage. He was guiding him. He was preparing him for these people who were the exact people which God would raise up. Others had discarded them. Maybe on the road, others had passed them by. But God said, "Ezekiel, this is the exact people which I need you to reach. These are the people that you need to be in the midst of. These are the people that you need to go to the place of. You need to go into the right place. Not just any place, but you need to go there and also be moved." And Ezekiel was moved because of the sight that he saw. The valley of the dry bones. I want to challenge this congregation this morning. You look outside the doors of this congregation. I know this congregation in such a way, having been here on 3 years of outreach and going around many doors in this community and doing open airs along with the Reverend Ian Brown and Garth Wilson and David Brown. This area, there's homes, there's a vast amount of people that gathered in this place. Many homes are broken by worldliness, by sin, by alcohol, by drugs, the drug of cigarettes. Lack of money. Homes are broken. They're racked. The worldliness has come in and sins have entered in. And you know what? Those people live next door to each one of us. Say, "I live in the country." Well, you're next door neighbor in the country. That's the exact people you need to reach. As I told someone this morning already, there's too many people asking people to come to church and not asking people to come to Christ. We're missing out. We're asking them to come to a church instead of asking them to come to a Savior. You see, a church, someone in a church can preach the word, but only the Savior can save a soul. We're to present them Christ. Christ Jesus. And those people live next door to us. They live around about us. And God has placed you living in that house. And God has placed you as coming to this church. And because God has placed you in this church and in the home where you live, then God has placed you exactly in the right place to reach such a people which need to be reached for Christ Jesus. But there's a difference today. Ezekiel saw the need before him. And Ezekiel caught the vision. But the awakening church hasn't awakened yet. And we don't see the need in the community. We haven't caught the vision. And the people are perishing. Think of the scriptures tells us Without a vision, the people perish. And Ezekiel did a wonderful thing in this passage of Scripture, verse 3. And we're going to apply mostly to verse 3 today. But Ezekiel did a wonderful thing in this passage of Scripture, because he left everything, he left everybody, he left Israel, he left the valley of the dry bones, he left it before God, he left it in God's hands, not his hands. He says, Lord, thou knowest. Now don't get mistaken. That doesn't mean that we should say, well, we're not workmen together, we're not laborers together. We are laborers together. We are laborers in the work, and I'm trying to get people in our own congregations and where I live, and the churches where I live, and the free church where I live, I'm trying to get us to connect to one another once again. Get us to support one another, and we need to get back to that. But these people are perishing. But Ezekiel saw the need, and he left it in God's hands. But not only do they need to see the need, not only did they need to be in the right place, not only did they need to look around, but he needed to take action. He was to take action to reach those who were in need. You see, he didn't just sit on his bum and say, well, that's enough. But he had to go to the place where they were to present the message to these bones. And these bones needed to be reached. He was there to reach them. He was there to reach them. Yes, we need to gather in the house of the Lord. Yes, we're to be here in the house of the Lord each Sabbath day, in the morning, in the evening, in the prayer meeting. We're to be gathered together. We're to be praying together. We're to be seeking the Lord together. And we want to reach family members and friends. That's exactly what we need to do. Get under the preaching of the Word. Get under the Bible study. Learn the Word and pray the Word. And I find so often I go around when I preach in other churches, when I preach in my own church, that so many people can quote hymns and they cannot quote the Scripture. We need to get back to the book. Yes, the hymns are wonderful. But we need to get the Word out there that people will hear. Hear the Word of God. We need to gather together as a people. But when we gather as a people together, then we go as a band of people together, being awakened through Christ Jesus. And we say, well, someone gets saved today. I don't know, but God, thou knowest. But I'm going. I'm going to serve you. Do you know, the other night when I was out in outreach, an 81-year-old man came with us from our church to go and help us. 81-year-old man. How many 18-year-olds want to come? But yet there was an 81-year-old man came with us. We need to be a people who gather together to reach them, to tell them how mighty God really is. I think as free Presbyterians, we don't praise the Lord enough. We're not happy enough, maybe. But it's a mighty God. A mighty God we serve. And when Ezekiel turns to God and says, God, thou knowest, God says, okay, Ezekiel, I'm going to give you a word in season. Verse 4. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me just stop there for a second. He tells them, hear the word of God, right? Maybe you're in this church service this morning. You say, preacher, I hear the word of God. Preacher, I know a lot about the word of God. But God hasn't given me a word to reach my neighbors. Has he not? God doesn't give me the message of the Scriptures to tell anybody else. Has he not? If you will, please, just turn to Psalm 119. You all know the verse, I'm sure. It's quoted many times. Many preachers quote it. Many people quote it in their prayers. Many people quoted Psalm 119, verse 105. You say, God doesn't give me a word to tell anybody else. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that I will go along that pathway to tell somebody else. It's God's word which is a light. God has given us this word. God has given us the Word, and God's Word is what we have to tell the people. So many people are telling everything else except for the Word. We're to get to the Word. And God's Word also teaches us that we need to depend on His Word. Depend on His Word, because it's God's Word which needs to be proclaimed upon this community and every other community. And we as the people of God, if we're ever going to be awakened, we need to depend on God. Now, don't get me wrong. Depending on God alone doesn't mean we act foolishly. Let me put it this way. If a person has got a leg injury and they need to go to the doctor, and they refuse, they say, I'm not going to the doctor, I'm going to wait on the Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord, I'm going to depend on God to fix my leg injury. Yes, God can do that. Or a person is driving along the road in a car. They look along the road in the car and they say, well, I'm going to take off my hands from the steering wheel. I'm going to let God drive. I'm going to close my eyes and let's see what happens. That's just being foolish. People say, I'm going to let God drive me home. These actions are foolish. Why? God has provided us with doctors to help us. God has provided with people out there to be our assistants. God has given us arms to reach the steering wheel and eyes to see as we drive that car down the road. Common sense to steer a car. Yes, we can depend on God alone. Yes, we can, but we need to visit the doctor. And we still need God when we drive. We depend on God all the time. Just like Ezekiel, when we look upon him in this valley of the dry bones, when nothing else seems to be working at all, and nothing else seems to be able to challenge or change the people, we need to be awakened, because Ezekiel, when he looks at God, he says, God, thou knowest. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the scriptures. They wouldn't sway or couldn't sway to the will of the king. They couldn't go the way of the king. Neither could they lessen, listen to this, neither could they lessen the intensity of the fire that was burning for them, the fiery furnace. All that they knew was that they could not bow down to a false god. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, depending on God for the outcome. And you know the words of Daniel chapter 3. I saw four men walking around, one like the Son of God. God can do anything. Although we say we can't do anything else, we come and we say to people, hey preacher, you preach the Word of God. I couldn't stand up and preach the Word of God. I'd get too nervous standing up here. You know what I think? A preacher doesn't get nervous at all. There's something wrong with him too. Say, I can't do anything. You can leave a gospel track, a track beside someone, or in an area you know someone's going to come by. You can present, you can leave a Word of God with someone. Say, what would that do? It's the Word of God that changes things. You could give someone a Bible, and you could give someone given a Word of God, and you could say, God, I don't know if someone will read this, but O Lord, thou knowest. Basically, you're saying, God, I'm leaving it before you. God, what can be done? Thou knowest. But what I will do, and I endeavor to do, is try. And as Ezekiel did in his verse number 3, he totally depends on God. So we should totally or solely depend on the Lord. And Ezekiel, like the awakening church needs to do, he realized that if he abided by the word of the call of God, that he needed to have a keen ear to what the Word of God said. He needed to have a keen ear to what the Word of God said. You see, if he hadn't listened, he wouldn't have heard what God told him to prophesy or to preach. He wouldn't have heard the words which God had told him. It says, prophesy or preach unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of God, of the Lord. And God says, prophesy or preach that they might live. You see, I believe in the first few verses, Ezekiel's already prayed over the people. He's prayed over the bones. He's there. He's caused to pass around. He's praying. very many. Here Ezekiel having a heart to reach them. He leaves it before the Lord. He's now to preach the word. And as he preaches the words, the word will change these bones that they might live, that Israel would be brought up from the depths of their despair, that they're brought unto Christ Jesus. Because God acknowledges them exactly for what they are. What they are is one sure thing, because God says in the verse number 4, O ye dry bones. God acknowledges that they're dry. God acknowledges that they have nothing of themselves. And he wants his servant Ezekiel, just as God wants his servants in this day, to awaken up to the possibilities that can be before us if we would just become awakened. And if he was awakened, that they might live. And this would come. But before he could get to that point, he had to hear the word of God. Listen to God's word. There had to be a listening, that he would be able to present God's word, that there would be a hearing. What were they to hear? God's word. God's word. You think of the words in 2 Timothy. The Lord called me to preach the word of God through these verses. Many others, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says these words, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season. The word instant also means to be urgent. In season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they after their own lusts shall they heap themselves teaching, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Watch thou in all things. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, or fulfill thy ministry. We're to preach the word. You know, it would be nice if a preacher stood before a congregation and the congregation would be very receptive to everything they said. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But that's not reality. If we all receive the word of God, the word receptively, then the word of God, no matter how hard it was, no matter how easy it was, it would be received willingly. But that's not always the case, is it? But Ezekiel listens carefully to the word of God. And verse 7, look what he does. So after listening to God's word, so I prophesied or preached as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. You see, something began to happen because he listened to the word. And he was awakened to the things of God. Ezekiel did as the Lord commanded him. A valley of dry bones. But he didn't give up. He remained steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for we know that our labors are not in vain. See, what Ezekiel wanted to do, and I pray it's each one of you and myself too, he wanted God to be glorified. That's why he said, Lord, thou knowest. Let's give God the glory. Let's not allow ourselves to get ahead of ourselves. Let God have the glory. The Awakening Church this morning, we can say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We can say we live in Christ and he lives in us. We can quote the words of Zechariah, which tells us he is our God and we are his people. We can rejoice in what God means to us. But that's not enough. We need to take exploits for the Lord. Being moved by God. For if we're moved by the grace of God, we'll see souls won or deceived. Child of God, this morning, I don't know if that I could answer the way Ezekiel answered in those verses of Scripture. I don't know if you could. Humble Ezekiel comes before God. And God asks him a question. He says, Lord, thou knowest. That brings us to the thought this morning that in everything we say or do, we should firstly say, God, thou knowest. What do we want to do in the area? Who shall we reach? When shall we go? Who shall we go with? Lord, thou knowest. I want to give you a quotation as I close this morning from Gill. He said it this way. The words of this verse, it says, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 4. The words so unconverted, sinners may be preached unto, and their lost and miserable state in which they are, like dry bones, may be set before them, may be called upon to attend an external ministry of the word. And they are capable of hearing with their bodily ears, though it is not profitable to them for want of faith, yet faith comes by hearing, and by hearing. And therefore, it is right to attend upon the means to hear the word of God. This morning, Ezekiel, there's much more in Ezekiel. I can't go into it this morning. The valley of the dry bones are outside this building and are your neighbors. But we need to catch the vision, lest they will perish. People are going out to a lost eternity. And it doesn't matter if they're earning £150,000 a year or £5,000 a year. If they're outside of Christ, they're outside of a Savior. And this morning we need to be awakened to those things. But it's not about their wage packet. But it's about their heart condition. But child of God, let me bring it round. It's about your heart condition before God. How do you live? Do you want to see God work in your family circle? Do you want to see God do great things? You say, God, to God be the glory of great things He has done. Do you want to see God move in a way which you never could imagine? Let us get to prayer. Let's awaken this day. Get our hearts right. That we will say, God, not only thou knowest, but God, I'll leave it everything before you. But my God will do wonderful things. And I'll be able to sit back in awe of what God can do. Child of God, this morning, seek after Him. Let's begin the awakening process in each one of our lives. Let's stand up and be counted. No matter the age, no matter the profession, let's do exploits. Because it's only what we do for God that's going to last. We can do many things ourselves. And it's good to have family things. But let me just close by saying one thing. Time is gone. I want you to live every day. People say this all the time. I want you to live every day like it's your last. Why? Every day, if somebody said to you today, by the way, this is your last day on earth, and you're told that after this day you'll be no more on this earth, the first thing everybody here would do was run to the family members and friends and say, I love you. I love you. I'm going to miss you. And I want to say that's a wonderful thing to do, is go around your family members and friends and tell them you love them. But how many would say this? I would love you to come to Christ. Because that's what should be the first thing in our minds. You want to know why? Because if they don't get saved, then you're saved. you shall never meet them again. So our days and our lives should be like our last. Telling people that they love, you love Christ, and you will love to see them saved. That no matter what happens in the day, what they will bring forth, that if we go out into God's eternity, that one day we shall see them, that they shall be in glory with us, that we will not be a people who, when the last day comes, that we will see those whom we love cast aside. They shall be joined with us in heaven, that we all will be like Him because we love Him. If you love your family, love them enough to tell them about Jesus Christ. Love them to tell them, not only do I want you to come to church with me this Sabbath day evening to hear the gospel message which we're going to preach from Ephesians chapter 2. So I want you to come to Christ.